Hey there, my name is Danny Sunshine Bauer, host of this podcast, and my mission in life is to help school leaders fight isolation and frustration via a leadership community in order to gain clarity and find solutions to their greatest challenges. If you get value from today's bonus episode, go out to Amazon and buy my book if you haven't done that yet, Better Leaders, Better Schools Roadmap. I'm going to ask big right here because, listen, at this point, there's 180-something episodes. You know, with all the bonuses, there's been 200. You've been getting this great free content for 3 years for free. So one way to say thanks, go to Amazon, type in Better Leaders, Better Schools Roadmap. It was a number one hot new release in Amazon, and that would really mean so much to me. And if you've already gotten the book, but your friend doesn't have it and they're an educator, why not give them a copy? Or shoot, give 5 copies away. That would just absolutely thrill me. That would mean so much. In today's show, I talk with Nancy Conrad, and we explore a number of interesting topics like why Nancy started the Conrad Challenge, how to participate in no box thinking, and are we making students prisoners of their own minds? Thanks for spending some time with me listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. And before we jump into the episode, I'd like to take some time to thank our show sponsors. A lot of school leaders talk about improving student soft skills to help them succeed in their rigorous coursework. The problem is that most leaders just talk about it without actually doing anything. You can improve your students' non-cognitive skills today by checking out an amazing program called Organized Binder. Learn more at organizedbinder.com. Students who participate in the Conrad Challenge don't learn to think outside the box. There is no box. Learn how innovation takes off and soars beyond the confines of a box at conradchallenge.org.
Hey everyone, this is Stacey Lindis from Podcast PD, a proud member of the Education Podcast Network, just like the show you're listening to right now. The opinions expressed are those of the individual host. Make sure you check out all of the other great podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com. And get ready because the learning begins in 3, 2, 1.
Well, hey there, Better Leaders. I am here today with Nancy Conrad, who created the Conrad Foundation in 2008 to energize and engage students in science and technology through unique entrepreneurial opportunities. The organization's flagship program, the Conrad Challenge, is a global competition challenging students to combine education, innovation, and entrepreneurship to create products that address real-world challenges and global sustainability. By enabling young minds to connect education, innovation, and entrepreneurship, the foundation helps provide a bold platform for enriching the innovative workforce of the future. There's a longer bio available for the listener on my blog, and welcome to the show, Nancy.
Thank you so much. Great to be with you.
Absolutely. Let's start here at the genesis story of the Conrad Challenge. And can you tell us some more about it and why you do what you do?
Well, I began this program really to intersect my late husband's legacy with my passion and do something really unique and transformative for students. So I'm a teacher, Daniel, and I think teachers always teach, you know. It's like spies always spy, well, teachers always teach. So I've been engaged in what I call transformative education really my entire life. And then when my late husband was killed in 1999, and I finally came up for air after that, about 5 years later, I began to think about how we could merge his story, my passion, and do something really outstanding for young people 13 to 18 years old. So that's how this crazy thing was born. It's a lot of fun. The students just do things that never cease to amaze us. And it's been, as Pete would say, a heck of a ride.
I love that phrase, a heck of a ride. What a way to honor him too, and to infuse your own passion for what you call transformative education. And listeners at this point, they've heard about the Conrad Challenge in the sponsorships of the podcast. I highly encourage everybody to go out and encourage their students to apply. The deadline is still open. It's until November 2nd, to be clear for all the listeners. And this idea of entrepreneurship and innovation and solving real world challenges. Nancy, what kind of challenges do you see students solving in the Conrad Challenge?
So the good news is, Daniel, when you don't have a box, and we call what we do no box thinking. So we've been fundamentally taught, you know, sit down, be quiet, be compliant, take a test, and if you pass, you're smart. And then we're also taught, in the meantime, the world is asking for risk takers and people who can think and know how to think and know how to learn. And really, at the very core of what we do is giving students a toolkit, if you will, to understand how to learn and how to think. And we do that through offering them opportunities to design their future. I mean, what could be more fun than to solve problems? And I don't really ever use that word. It's more challenges. Problems has a negative overtone to me. So there's so many challenges that face our world today, whether it's in aerospace, energy, cybersecurity, health. We also work with the Foundation for a Smoke-Free World, and how do we keep students from ever smoking? And then what do we do about farmers in, say, Africa, who that's been their livelihood and their crop, and it's hopefully going to become obsolete? How do we help them? And then also we're inviting our students this year with smart technologies to create technologies for use in the classroom. So really, these young people have the opportunity to drive some impact and to bring an idea to fruition, if they so choose, and benefit humanity. Social impact at its most tender ages, you know?
And I know you can't have any favorites probably in terms of the projects, but are there some that really bubble up to mind that really have tickled your curiosity or inspired you?
Oh, so many of them, it's hard to imagine. Hang on one sec. I just was in a conference and I mentioned the following. So just to imagine a tool to improve storage efficiency inside of International Space Station. A low-cost water purification system could serve populations after natural disasters. When we get this hurricane going on in Florida, this little project would really be helpful. Kids have developed a line of skincare products made out of tobacco, a medical device to improve joint health, meal replacement energy bars that actually flew on the shuttle, and I mentioned to you a diagnostic technique to diagnose diabetic retinopathy. There were a team of girls that create, I didn't even know this. There's a billion birds that are killed every year just flying into buildings. And one of our teams last year created a technology that would prevent this sort of dive bombing death, if you will, for birds. So it's all over the place. And because we don't say make this and if you make it better, you win, we say here are the challenges. You go decide how you want to participate in the future. And it has to be commercially viable. Many of our students go on to get patents. Many of them deploy their products. That's up to them. They own their IP. We don't own it. And they have all done extraordinary things. It just, once you give them that opportunity to think and to learn and have fun doing it, and you can actually develop things that solve challenges. One of our teams of students, after they went through our competition, they developed a nail polish that could detect date rape drug in a cocktail.
Wow.
Yeah. And that product's going to be on the marketplace. Isn't that cool?
Oh, it's fantastic. It's fantastic. Especially, I'm not going to get into the politics, but we need that. We need that out there as soon as possible.
Yep. That's, boy, talk about hashtag me too. That's a real cure, isn't it?
Absolutely.
When I tell you these things, the breadth and the scope and the depth of them when they're from students 13 to 18 is stunning. It really is stunning. You know, there's a product to stop hand tremors. I could go on for hours with these kids too. It's how do I say this? It's really the best use of the classroom to teach STEM. And that's what this is. It's a STEM competition, essentially. Because you have to take everything you know and then go make something out of nothing and solve a big global or local challenge. Oh, and then you own it And like I said, many of our kids deployed. So it's a fascinating, and I never know what they're going to come up with, which is really interesting.
Yeah, kudos to you in setting this up, and great job to all the students that participate. A couple of things that I want to, four things I want to at least pull out for the listeners that I think is extremely important that I'm really connecting with here is the idea of authentic work. You know, that their product, their solution for the challenges can be commercially viable and that they have ownership. You know, so we get so frustrated as teachers when students say, well, is this going to be on the test? That's the compliance piece that we're trying to fight and that Nancy's talking about. But when a kid creates something that could be commercially viable and they have the ownership, whoa, you're just absolutely opening up all these worlds of opportunity and creativity.
Well, sure. You've helped them to understand what it is to think and how to learn.
Exactly.
Fortunately, that doesn't go on very much in the classroom because we all know what that story is. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I don't like to admire problems, Daniel. I like to just go do something and try and fix it.
Right.
So this has been a very powerful way for students to get into what I call the note box. And by the way, we developed a note box toolbox. So that's there. It's an organic framework that helps teachers and students to understand the process of innovation and entrepreneurship. So that's a very helpful tool for them to go through our process, and it's all part of our competition as well.
Is that available to? So I hope people do apply and become a part of the Conrad Challenge. But is this No Box Toolbox available to all?
It is. All the students that come into our competition and all the teachers as well, and we are just beginning to look at some other opportunities for the toolbox. It's pretty powerful, so opportunities are opening to use it in additional ways. I'll keep you posted on that. How's that?
Perfect, and we'll link that up for folks in the show notes. There's just a few other points I wanted to highlight for the listeners, and then we'll move on. Language matters, right? So did you hear how Nancy said to me, we don't like to call it problems. It has a negative connotation. We like to call it challenges. And as a leader, that's super important because how you package and how you message, right? The vision or the initiative, whatever it is to your staff, the language you use is incredibly important. We talked about interesting challenges to solve. So back to the authenticity piece. And the last point I want to share with the listeners, and if you don't mind, I'm going to read just a paragraph from my latest book, The Better Leaders, Better Schools, a Roadmap. It says that, I believe that people give you what you expect 100% of the time. I've seen this most dramatically as a teacher. The same students, misfits, my colleagues might call them, would perform extremely well for me, while in other classes, they struggled as if they were another human being altogether. And the reason I share that, Nancy said, isn't it amazing what these students produce? And when you set the expectations that here's a real world challenge and we don't know what to do about it, whether that might be, how do we identify if there's a date rape jug in a drink? And these students come up with a nail polish. What? That can identify it? That's incredible. But it's because the expectation is there that you're smart, you're competent, you're creative, and you can do this. And look at what the students do.
So Daniel, I don't know if you know this piece of the backstory, but my late husband had a little problem reading and spelling. And of course, I guess they just hadn't invented the word dyslexia yet. I don't know. But he got thrown out of a very prestigious school in the 11th grade. And his mom took him to a little school in upstate New York. And the headmaster at that school saw something in him and took him under his wing. Pete repeated the 11th grade. And he ended up with a scholarship to Princeton, compliments to the Navy and Princeton.
Wow.
And he became an aeronautical engineer, didn't have to read or spell, and he liked to fly. And then he went on to fly 4 flights in space and was the 3rd man to walk on the moon, was awarded a Congressional Space Medal of Honor for rescuing Skylab, our first space station. And then he went on to really create the foundation for the commercialization of space. So what Branson, Musk, and Bezos are doing today, in large measure, stands on the shoulders of Pete Conrad and the team that he worked with for the Delta Clipper project. So I looked at that and, you know, here's a kid that could be a complete washout.
Right.
everything pointed to that. And an educator took him under his wing, and that kid got a moonshot. So when I began this project, I said, you know, that's what we're going to do. We're going to take kids under our wing and give them their moonshot. And so believing in them and their ability to just create immense change and to participate in an active way in what the future looks like is our way of taking students under our wing.
Fantastic.
And so that they can have their moonshot as well.
Absolutely. So inspiring. And speaking of moonshots, listeners, if you want to go back and listen to the episode I did with Randy Watson, and he talked about his moonshots with what he's doing in Kansas specifically and redesigning schools. I think you'll enjoy that episode too. I want to continue to discuss this idea of the no box, but Nancy, let's pause here just for a second for a message from our sponsors. Today's show is proudly sponsored by Organized Binder, a program which gives students daily exposure to goal setting, reflective learning, time and task management, study strategies, organization skills, and more. Organized Binder's color-coded system is implemented by the teacher through parallel process with students, helping them create a predictable and dependable classroom routine. You can learn more and improve your students' executive functioning and non-cognitive skills at organizedbinder.com. All right, and we're back with Nancy Conrad, who created the Conrad Foundation in 2008. And we're here discussing the Conrad Challenge. And I love this idea that there is no box. It's no box thinking. And there's a no box toolbox available for educators. And we'll link up the URL for you listeners in the show notes. Nancy, I'm curious because we are in such a compliance-driven industry. How can school leaders work within the system to innovate and to just disperse this idea of no box thinking?
Not easy, I'm sure. The fact that this is actually a framework to do no box thinking is helpful to both teachers and to students. And I think the whole world is not a test. And when you get into the real world, whatever that is, however we use that word, that's a whole other conversation. But you're asked to be innovative. You're asked to take risks. You're asked to apply your mind in multiple new ways that perhaps you didn't learn in a classroom, because it's not about memorizing. So if we're going to grow a workforce to sustain our knowledge-based economy, we have to free out young minds. We have to give them that no-box opportunity. And let me share a story with you, Daniel. We had a young man, this summer we were invited to a conference, and this young man was asked to participate in the opening event, which took place at the United Nations. And he came from Nigeria, and he stood on the floor of the UN, and he introduced himself, and then he said, well, I'll tell you what he said. He started out, and you can see this video on our website. He said, my name is Afolabi Williams, and I'm from Nigeria, and this is my first time in New York City. Well, there's about 800 people in the room, and they just ate him up. And then he said, I was a prisoner. Well, you could have dropped a pin. And he said, I was a prisoner of my own mind. I didn't know I could do things until I found out about the Conrad Challenge.
Wow.
And no box thinking. So I think that really encapsulates what a lot of kids are walking around with today, is being prisoners of their own minds. If you think you can do things, you can. If you put yourself into that box and you think you aren't capable of doing anything, you will convince yourself that that's the way you are. And you will lose that opportunity to be part of tomorrow. So it's really a riveting story to me about this young man. And I think a lot of young people, they lose interest in education and they lose interest in many things because they're not invited to the table. You know, the stakeholder we never speak to in education, the consumer of education, and who is that? That's the students. So we're very student focused, everything we do is for the benefit of our consumers, and our consumers are our students. By the way, we also do a Teacher of the Year award, and that's my award. So, you know, these teachers that work with us, I'd like to bottle them and replicate them over and over because they're fantastic, and they really understand the power of a young mind to create and to innovate. And giving them that opportunity is just a fantastic thing for a teacher to do.
Yeah, I've seen it, you know, when I was a classroom teacher and just asked students to do something very similar, to tell me what topics they're passionate about and do a project about it. You know, if that was a challenge, I might have used the word problem, but you have to forgive me. this was before we talked, Nancy, so it doesn't count.
Yeah, there you go.
And how might they want to solve it? And it was just, it was amazing to see what they'd come up with limited resources too, but to say that you have it within yourself to come up with something special. And that was always fun. And the thing that I want to mention to the listeners too was that I did the project alongside the students, right? And that was fun. It was really engaging for me because I got to focus on something that I found very interesting as well, but I got to model my work and kind of show kids the process of, you know, wrestling with important ideas, learning from failure, being courageous and sharing your work. And but there's a lot of value in that.
Well, and really baked into what we do, Daniel, is leadership, communication, collaboration, all of the skill sets, presentation skills. And these students then go apply into university. I had a head of admissions at a particular university call me and say, he said, I've never seen admissions work like what comes in from your students. They really understand who they are. They are authentic young people. And I think that's one of the byproducts of what we do is helping these students to gain self-awareness and to gain confidence and to really trust in their own mind and trust in their own value systems. And by the way, some of our teachers use our competition to teach their science classes or their math classes.
I love it.
They'll divide the whole class into teams, and then they will down select which teams they think should come into the competition. It's pretty funny.
It's interesting.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Tony Robbins is famous for saying, quality questions create a quality life, and successful people ask better questions, and as a result, they get better answers. Nancy, what is one question you wish school leaders would ask more often?
One question I wish they would ask more often. Well, boy, can I give you a multi-tiered answer?
You could do what you want. You're the hero of the show.
Okay, so I think that focusing more on the consumer, on the student, and asking the student, you know, Pete used to talk about stuff, oh, that really lights my candle. We are a juice factory, Daniel. We are here to get students juiced about learning. Mm. Now, how can teachers be the Willy Wonka of the juice factory to help their students be excited about learning? And I guess, I don't know if I can nail that down into one question I would ask teachers, but, you know, if a teacher is jazzed about imparting information and having their students alive and excited about learning, that's the magic sauce. Mm-hmm. That's what is infectious to a young mind. Unfortunately, in some of the classrooms in today's world, you know, tests matter, and I'm not saying don't measure because measuring is important. I'm just saying that giving young minds the capacity to participate is an important piece of what we do in the classroom, and focusing on, you know, just change the lens, focus on the consumer, on the student. What are you really giving to that young person?
That's good.
Maybe that's the question. I don't know. What are you really giving to your young students?
Right. And I talk about it quite a bit on the podcast, but often we revert to what's easy, what's natural, what's traditional, so to speak. Uh-huh. And that's often what serves us the best. But you need to think about, you know, professional development for your teachers. What is it that they want? What do they need?
Yeah, we do PD, by the way.
Very
good. No box, toolbox. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, you know, when we talk about student-centered education, it changes the entire conversation. It is no longer about test-taking and curriculum right. and numbers and blah, blah, blah. It's really about getting these kids to a place where they can ask why and ask how and can be curious like they were when they were little children. You know, we've sort of squeezed that out of them. As Sir Ken Robinson talks about that a lot. And we have squeezed their juice out. We just need to rejuice these kids, especially if we're going to sustain our economy.
Exactly. Yeah, so how can we be more like a juice factory and how can we design schools exactly how students want?
Well, not exactly how, because they're not all that wise at this point in time. But creating a conversation with them rather than at them.
Partnership.
Exactly.
Perfect. Nancy, what's one book, video, tool, or resource that has really impacted your leadership, productivity, or quality of life in the last 90 days?
Let me think on that one. Actually, I've been traveling so much in the last 90 days, I don't even think I've picked up a book. I do a lot of conferences, Daniel, and I just spoke at a conference, and I learned so much because I understand how to keep my mind open and to really listen in an active way. That conference really impacted me. It was stunning. And people from all different sorts of, you know, neuroscience and education and healthcare and multiple facets, all of us focused on sustainability. I'm not answering your question and giving you kind of what has impacted me lately. The other thing that impacts me all the time is I have a huge, community of young people, and I listen very hard to them. And I listen very actively to them because they are what's next. And I learn a lot from them. And I mentor two young women and I learn very much from them as well. So I think keeping an open mind and listening, I don't know if there's a book that talks about that. I don't know. I haven't read a book that talks about that specifically. And heaven knows I haven't read it recently. I've been too dang busy.
Nancy, what message would you put on all school marquees across the globe if you could do so for just one day?
Pay attention to your consumer.
Fantastic. And Nancy, you've made it to the end of the interview. You know that this big question was going to come. You're building a school from the ground up. You're not limited by any resources. Your only limitation is your imagination. How would you build your dream school and what would be your top three priorities?
I would build a school that had, I guess I would call it studios, where students, like-minded students that were focused on certain aspects could work together, not constantly, but come together daily to think and to learn and kind of the juice factory, if you will. And I think juice factories do really well when everybody works together as sort of team teaching, if you will. And I think I would create a school, may not even have any walls, you know, no classrooms. Almost like what Google does and Facebook and WeWork and those places that have open systems that people can hang out and collaborate and work with each other and learn from each other. Obviously, I'm not very big on structure. Having said that, if there's no structure, it could also be, you know, just bubblegum. I don't know. There has to be some structure to it, just not stiff and not taking all of the passion out of these kids. I want them to have passion. I have passion. My husband had passion. I've seen these young people that work with us. It just light up. They can come in as a lone wolf and they go out as part of an innovative community that's global, by the way. And they're excited to learn. And I guess the one thing I'd like to inject into any school, whether it's one I would build or anybody would build, is that passion for learning.
Nancy, thank you so much for being an incredible guest here on the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Any parting words of advice, and where can students apply to the Conrad Challenge?
So conradchallenge.org, and the deadline is now November 2nd. So as they say on, what is it? What's that show on TV? Come on down. Yeah, all kids
Price
are welcome.
Is right.
Price is right. Yeah. So all students are welcome. The teachers are welcome. And we have all the tools and resources you could possibly imagine. And, you know, to get to the finals, where you get an invitation to come to Kennedy Space Center and hang out with astronauts and world leaders in, you know, guy from the CIA and people out of, all sorts of government and industry and academia. And these students become, you know, after they go through our program, they become Conrad innovators, they become part of our alumni, it's a family. And so we welcome all students to bring us your ideas and come to the Juice Factory, because you'll have a great time and you'll learn how to love to learn.
Thanks again for being on the show, Nancy.
Sure, my pleasure, Dan. Thank you for the invitation.
All right, Better Leaders, just a few more things before you take off. I created a new resource for you called The 3 Leadership Questions I Ask Every Day. You can download the resource by visiting betterleadersbetterschools.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. This helps me in a few ways. It gives the show some social proof, it encourages new people to listen to the show, and it improves the ranking of the show and therefore helps me serve more school leaders. If you want extra credit and some good vibes, share your biggest takeaway from the show and tag me on Twitter and Instagram. My handle is Alien Earbud, an anagram for my name, Daniel Bauer, and make sure to use the hashtag BLBS. This Sunday is the weekend resource. Join over 3,000 school leaders that get this resource delivered every week. In the weekend resource, I share content curated specifically for school leaders. You'll get articles, videos, templates and exercises, coaching tips, inspirational quotes, invitations to free Friday group coaching, which is an exclusive offer made available only to newsletter subscribers in the Better Leaders, Better Schools tribe, and links to all the content I created for you this past week. You can subscribe at betterleadersbetterschools.com/weekend-resource. And remember, life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader.